D hasn't come on yet.
Okay. How are you this morning?
Busy.
Brandalo.
Good morning.
He hasn't come on.
Okay.
I sent you an email and it came back. I sent it again and I even included myself and I didn't get it. So I'll check your emails and let me know by text if it took.
Yeah, I got mine.
Okay, thanks.
I got mine.
Okay, did you get two of them or just one?
All I see is one.
Okay, so
all
the first one is... Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Did y'all have trouble getting on the conference call? Because it took me 3 minutes before it was take.
Yeah, I did. I did. I had to try it several times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
This morning we are continuing the finishing, hopefully, the 77th Psalm. We're going to start with verse 11. What's up with the Lishan Yesud? You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom. You find the handout on the Unique Astrological Times link. On the landing page, opens up, scroll down to the Ta'aniti board, the period of Shogodin. And you will find the Psalms landing page. When you open up the Psalms landing page, you scroll down to Psalm or Tehillim 77. And within that section, you'll find the two links, one for the Bechon Mamre, which you also will need to scroll to Psalm 77. And the other, Rabbi Sutton's Yearning for Redemption PDF, which you will also need to scroll to Psalm 77. And as I said, we'll start with verse 11.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay. I'm starting with the Yearning for Redemption window in my computer. Verse 11 in Hebrew. Vayomer halotti shendot yemin elyon. Then I said, I realized, it is to inspire me with awe and trembling, and thereby to bring me to repentance. That is why the loving right hand of the Most High has changed. There is footnote 101. Vayomer haloti hi. The phrase within the psalm, within the verse. Rashi and Mitzvot David both Loti as Lechacholoti, the Yareni, to cause me to tremble, to frighten me, to bring me to awe. For Hiho Milaada, fear and trembling, in order to bring me to repentance. Based on the noun halal, which is the corpse, the Doc sees it as death, and thus translates the entire verse. And if I feel as if I am about to die due to the length of the exile, I bring to mind how Hashem aroused his loving hand and brought me forth from the subjugation of Egypt and Babylon. While Hirsch, another commentator closer to our time period, having lived mostly in the 1800s, is the only one to understand Haloti as deriving from Hilul, profanation. He still agrees in principle with the above. He thus writes, halal is to be profaned. Excuse me. Halal is to have lost one's life, even in the physical or in the moral sense. To be beaten to death or to be desecrated. To be profaned. Israel thus says, my becoming profane. Herein lies the explanation of what would seem like a change in the right hand of the Most High. Actually, neither God nor his loving right hand have changed. It is only I that have changed, for the worse. For I have forfeited the sacred character of my life. I thought it was God that had changed, but it was actually a change in me. And necessitated a type of divine discipline and guidance, different from that which I had experienced in the past. Dat Nikra, Amos Chacham, Mosad Harav Kook, translates Haloti as my prayer. By Chal Moshe, Moshe entreated, and understands our verse thus. After having complained, I now understand that I have no recourse but to pray and entreat the Yitpalel Uyechalot Hashem. And my prayer is, Shinot Yamim Elyon, may the Most High awaken his right hand again. Shinit. This footnote is really explaining the small print in the verse, the English verse, where Rabbi Sutton is adding these thoughts and these words from these various commentators to help us understand this very cryptic verse. I'm now going to look at the Mahon Manre translation. And I say, this is my weakness, that the right hand of the Most High could change. The 12th verse in Hebrew. Eskol ma'aleya ki eskira b'kedem b'lecha. I will make mention of the deeds of the Lord, which is Yah. Yet I will remember thy wonders of old. Now looking at the Yearning for Redemption PDF. I will recall, and I urge my people to recall, the great deeds that you, Yah, performed for us. I bring to mind the wonders you performed for us in the past. There are seven words to this verse. And seven, we know, is the number that is the representative of the unity of the physical and the spiritual. Malchut ends there on pin. And 27 letters representing all of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, including the final letters. Verse 13. I ponder the totality of your work, the overriding divine plan that is leading to the ultimate redemption. And I meditate upon your great deeds, the individual acts that all together will be revealed to have been part of this overriding plan. With Rabbi Sutton's additional words, it's something to truly contemplate. The overriding divine plan. We know that there is a plan of creation. We know that the Torah itself is the blueprint of that plan. How can we understand that? How does that impact my life today? These questions, I think, are important to contemplate. Let's read the Zechonmai translation. I will make mention of the deeds of Yah. Yea, I will remember thy month wonders of old. Friends, you can see truly see the difference. Verse 13. Vahagiti bikol palecha. I will meditate also upon all of your work and muse on your doings. This is a very interesting translation, not so much the translation, just the thought. Because the Arit teaches us there's a certain point above which it is inappropriate to contemplate about Hashem, about God. There's a point above which we should not try and build. That level is in the level of the Keter. That level is the level of the above the end self. We know there is an end self, an endless world. We also know that this is not the Creator. It's an extension of the Creator. The Ari says, don't go above that extension. Don't try and understand. Don't try and contemplate the Creator. And yet, this verse, in both translations, is telling us to do just that. To meditate upon the work. Well, the work starts with the end soul. Can I go above and contemplate about the Creator itself? To me, this is it. Seems to be a conflict. Seems to be a paradox between the teachings of our sages and the teachings of this verse. But is it really? If you study the history of the flow of the wisdom of Kabbalah, how it came across the various generations, the various countries in the exile, we have two major patterns of customs. One is called Sephardic. One is called Ashkenazi. Within Kabbalah, the Sephardic practice of the Ariti taught, and what even many generations before the Ariti, we did not contemplate the Creator. Whereas the Ashkenazi, who received the information from a second student of the Ari, not Chaim Vital, his writings indicate contemplation of the Creator is appropriate. And I see here where that thought came from. And up till now, I was not truly aware of why there would be this discrepancy between the two groups. Verse 14, reading of Nechon Mamre. Elohim, Akod Eshdar Kecha, Miel Gadok Elohim. Elohim, thy way is in holiness, whom the great God, El, like unto Elohim. It's an interesting play on the different aspects of the word God. This would not I ask? Rabbi Sutton indicates. Verse 14 from Rabbi Sutton. O Elohim, your way is in holiness. You sanctify your name by meting out justice to the wicked. Which of their gods is as great as Elohim? This, with Rabbi Sutton's translation, we're getting a comparison that is very different in meaning than what we get from the Mahon Mamre translation. Rabbi Sutton is saying that which of their gods, meaning not Jewish gods, and of course there's only one God, so please don't just accept that statement, their gods. What is meant by their gods? When it's also saying, if you look at it in small print, how can Elohim, which is the God of judgment, deal with holiness, which is a left column idea? Elohim is a left column essence. Holiness, Kadosh, is a right column essence. How does one go from the left column to the right column? How did Aaron become a high priest, a right column personality, from the Levite, the left column personality? And that is the understanding of the word holiness. Kadosh. Rabbi Berg used to remind us that Kadosh meant whole, and he would then spell out W-H-O-L-E. Whole is complete. Holiness is complete. The left column represents the desire to receive. After the sin of Adam, it became the desire to receive for oneself alone. And the tikkun, the selection, is to something outside of the left column, a form of Hashem, chooses something within that left column, elevates it, it brings it across to the right column. This is what's being expressed, and main is the main difference in how these two translations are complete or not complete. The 15th verse. Ata Elohim Elohata Yamim Uzecha. You are Ha'el. Hashem's attribute of love and kindness, who alone does wonders. O make your invincible power known among the nations. First off, we normally do not see Ha'el as a word. We see it as El. The level of El has to do with Chachma. It has to do with wisdom. But most importantly, it has to do with right column. And that's what Rabbi Sutton is expressing. Your attribute of loving kindness, which is the top of the right column in the physical world. The Mahon Mamre, thou art the God, Ha'el, that does wonders. Thou hast made known thy strength among the peoples. A better translation of Ba'amim is in the nations, or in nations. But it does have the meaning of peoples, so it can be either way. But Rabbi Sutton's translation was more emphasis by following it the nations. That's my opinion. I'm back on the Yearning for Redemption PDF, verse 16. Yalta Bizroa Amecha Bnei Yaakov Yosef Sela. Always remember when you see Selah, It's a word that says pause and contemplate what was expressed in the thought. You redeemed your people with your outstretched arm, with your revealed miracles. The children of Yaakov and Joseph, Selah. What is the meaning of this phrase, the children of Yaakov and Joseph? Joseph is one of Yaakov. And here you could imply that Manasseh and Ephraim, rather than be children of Yaakov, which the Torah tells us they are, they're children of Joseph. That's on one level. On another level, the children of Yaakov and Joseph represents the 12 tribes of Israel. It represents the central column people. Who are the people of the central column? They're the 12 tribes of Israel. But the 10 of those tribes are lost. We don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. Those souls reincarnate. Did they reincarnate into the other nations? Or did they reincarnate into different aspects of the Jewish nation? Because the Jewish nation truly at this point consists of those souls that stood at Mount Sinai, who did not complete their tikkun as of yet. But they are striving to remain in balance, to remain in the central column, or they're striving to become the central column. This to me is the meaning of this phrase, the children of Yaakov and Joseph. And this is what this word Selah is trying to teach us. Now I'm going to look at the translation from the Bohon Mame. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. It is a more literal translation without Rabbi Sutton's thoughts, small words, is the way I'm describing them. Verse 17. The water saw thee, Elohim. The water saw thee. They were in pain. The depths also trembled. What is the meaning of the waters being in pain? Or was it referring to people? Was it referring to Hashem himself? Elohim himself was in pain because of what the actions of people, which forced him to judge . Remember earlier it said that Elohim judged the other people, not the children of Israel. This is what the Yearning for Redemption translation is like. The waters beheld you, Elohim. The waters of the Red Sea beheld you and shook from dread. Even the depths trembled. You see how the questions I raised Rabbi Sutton answers. He has to add the words Red Sea, which really means Yam Suf. But Yam Suf is not in the Hebrew words. Where did it come from? It comes from the question that I asked without knowing that Rabbi Sutton had asked it. I had never read this verse's translation before. But I see how the question I asked was one he had asked. There are 9 words in this verse. So is it Chachma as you speak? Are we being connected to Chachma? Are we being connected to Yesod? There are 36 letters connecting to the Tzaddikim, the 36 Tzaddikim. So does that answer the question? 36 Tzaddikim would imply that it's Yesod that's being connected to here. Verse 18. Zohar mu ma'ir ma'avot kolach natnu shechakim afatzi et patchatzatzecha ishalachu. The clouds poured forth water, the skies roared with thunder. Your arrows, your lightning bolts went forth. Is this talking about Noah's flood? The clouds flooded forth waters. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. Again, there are 9 words. And 36 letters. There's a connection between verses 16 and 17. But it's not real clear, is it? They're both connecting to this Sephirah, to the kingdom of righteousness of Yesod. And we truly don't think in terms of righteousness being a level connected to Elohim. Verse 19. Kol ramcha begal gal beiru berakim tatevel ragza vatirash aretz. Please note the gal gal. We can see what it's being translated as a whirlwind. But with different vowels, it becomes Gilgul, a wheel. there's no vowels in the Torah, no vowels in the Book of Psalms. Let's see what Rabbi Ashok translated it as. The sound of your thunder rolled in the firmament, lightning bolts lit the world. The earth trembled and quaked to its very foundations. It's a very significantly different translation. But the vowels are coming from the Masoretic text. And this gives me an opportunity to explain what is the Masoretic text. Since the Torah, every scroll that's ever written, does not have vowels. So you don't know how to pronounce the words. But there is one scroll that was written that came down to us. It's not necessarily the only scroll. But one scroll is written with vowels. And that's referred to as the Masoretic text. That's where the vowels come from. We read in the Chumash. That we practice the reading of. Is it correct? As far as we know, yes. Is it the only way of understanding the word? The perfect example is the first word. The vowel is the shva, the two dots one above the other, that has no sound. And so it's pronounced a bet, just the sound of the bet in Bereshit. But it could have been just as well Bereshit, which is the true translation of in the beginning. Bereshit means in a beginning. You can see how a vowel change is very significant. The Masoretic text is one way of understanding the Torah. There are 69 other ways to understand the Torah. Verse 20. Vayam darkecha ushbilcha v'mayim rabim v'ikvotecha lo nodavu. Look at the difference between the word ushbilcha, the way it's pronounced, and the way it's written. What's the difference? There's an additional yud. That additional yud can be read, meaning whatever this word means, it's in the plural. A cough at the end is your. Whatever the word means, it's possessed by the second person, you or you all. The fact that the yud is there, it's plural, but it's not being translated as plural. And let's read the English translation by Rabbi Sutton. Your path cut right through the sea, and your lane passed through mighty waters. And yet, the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea of Yom Suf was over, your footsteps could not be recognized. Hirsch, the commentator, who was the foremost Orthodox responder to the period of the Enlightenment, referring to the coming of the Reform movement, verses 15 to 20 together constitute one clause, of which verse 21 is the concluding sentence. In verses 15 to 16, Asaph contemplated the spiritual and moral repercussions of the Exodus from Egypt. In verses 17 to 20, we have a description of Israel's subsequent progress through the Yam Suf, with all the attendant phenomena that are involved in temporary suspension of the basic laws of nature. And after he had accomplished what he had set out to do, his footsteps could not be recognized. All of nature reverted to its ordinary routine, without showing the least trace of the agitation and the upheaval it had just experienced. And what indeed was the purpose of these extraordinary world-shaking acts of God? You led your people as a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You paved the way for the continued leadership of your people at the hands of Moses and Aaron. It was from their hands that Israel was to accept the Torah, the revelation of your will, to the guidance of which they were to entrust themselves as a flock commits itself to a shepherd. Israel was to remain loyal to this Torah and to obey it unswervingly, however difficult might be the paths into which it might lead, however sinister the forces of evil it would have to encounter, and however obscure might seem the goals to which it is directed. It's significant that Rabbi Sutton adds this footnote, because he explains the concept of Hirsch's approach, and some of his translation relate to that. But it's also significant that he's not listing any other commentator, indicating that Hirsch is alone in what he is saying. Let's take a look at the Mahon Mamre. Thy way was in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps were not known. Rabbi Sutton is explaining it better, in my opinion, but they're similar. So with his commentary by Hirsch, it's not similar, because he's saying from verse 15 to 21 is a psalm unto itself. So why was there not a space between verse 14 and verse 15 in the scroll of the Tehillim, which is how we know to identify a psalm as being a different chapter? It's intriguing to me. Don't have any answers, just raising questions. But it's from the questions that the answers get revealed. Sometimes we have to wait a long time. Sometimes we'll get that answer immediately. Verse 21. Matita. Yes, Anna.
I'm wondering if it might have anything to do with the Midrash that tells us that the sea actually split in many different paths. Okay. Well, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I don't know if it's my phone or what, but I wondered if it could be related to the Midrash that says that the Yam Suf split in paths that each one of the tribes could travel. They each had a path. You know, in other words, if it split, well...
We know that midrash, but I don't understand how that would be related to the...
Well, because of the word path being singular, you know. It's the thought that came to my mind, and I just raised it up. It's another question. I'm going to go ahead and
move
because my reception is really, really bad. I'm having to strain to, you know, to hear everything. Okay, thank you.
Tana, I'm just curious because I know you've been having trouble with the phone as I have not. But I'm using the cell phone. I don't have a landline, and you have both. So are you on your cell phone today? It's not a question you need to unmute and answer. But I think
yes,
that may be...
I'm on the cell, and it took 3 minutes for me to get connected. I keep getting those crazy messages, but the reception is just really bad.
They say in their technical discussions, when you first get on, if you aren't able to and you listen to their message, they say that it's better to use the landline rather than the cell phone. I don't have anything but the cell phone, so that.
Well, I can't tie up that
information
with what.
I understand you can't tie it up. It's understandable.
Mm-hmm. But my computer's acting crazy. So it's, you know, my texts are coming back undeliverable, and when I send out an email, it types the person twice, and I include myself to see how it, you know, how it's received, and it doesn't even come to me, so I don't know what's happening. I'll just have to call GeekSpot next week and try to clean up the computer again. Thank you. I'm sorry to take your time like this. Let me go ahead and mute again.
It's not a problem. It's
hello?
Later, but yes, Brandy?
I know Hannah's having trouble. I'm on my cell phone because that's all I have. And sometimes you sound clear, and sometimes you sound like you're in a barrel.
I understand.
So,
It does. When you have so much rain as we get into the winters, and in that area, you've had all that. But
right.
Understood. Just something to be aware of.
Really clear. I heard Brandy very clear, but when you talk again, it's like she said, like you're in a barrel and you can catch some words and can't catch the others. I have the phone right up to my ear. I have my hearing aids on. I don't know what else, you know, but something is better than nothing. So
I will mention that normally the last few winters where I've been in Atlanta, there hasn't been a lot of rain, and the weather hasn't been a lot of wind, and so the weather has been smooth relatively. And so we didn't have these problems in previous years. But we're having it, and it has to do, as Randy said, with the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Technology will be... Actually, what I started to say is, when the time comes that someone will take my words that are recorded in the recordings and clean it up, they will fix all of those things that you're having trouble with. And I'm sorry I can't afford to do it now. But eventually that technology will be brought down to a level where people can learn how to do it without much expense. And then it happens to them.
Well, it really has only been just in the last few weeks that we've been having trouble getting onto the conference call.
Okay.
So I kind of think it might be related to that. But who knows?
Anyway. You broke up, and so I wasn't able to hear you. I know you were saying something about the conference call.
That's when it's been these last 2 weeks and getting, you know, having a hard time to get onto the conference call that we're experiencing these problems. So it could be
right.
with the conference call itself, you know.
It could be with the conference call, but it could be with the telephone systems when it rains, and a combination of both.
Mm-hmm. But also we get a message in another form.
Essentially, we don't have a way of solving it, is what I'm saying, until the rains come to be minimized and the lines dry out. Then we should be able to go back to the normal where we don't have these problems. And I apologize for them. But let's finish this verse 21. Nachita katzon amecha biyat Moshe li'acharon. You led your people as a flock by the hand of Moshe and Aaron. And the hearing the Chol Mamre translation, thou did lead thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So let me read Psalm 77, in Hebrew, continuously. Vam natseach al yedo kedutun le'asach mizmor. Kavli Elohim v'yetzaka kolei Elohim v'chazim Eilai v'yom tzarati Adonai darashti Yadi laila Nigra v'lo tafu Ve'anachi nachem nafshi Eskira Elohim V'yehemaya Asikha V'titatev Ruhi Sela Ahazta Shemurot Einai Nifauti Ulo Adaber Kishavti Amim Mikedem shenot olamim eskira neginati balayla im levavi asicha vatapes ruchi al yolamim ifnach Adonai ulo yosif Years old, Teafes Vanetzach Hazdo, Gamar Omer, Lidor Vador, Ashakach Chanot, El Inkafetz, Veafraka Mausela. Waomar Halotihi, Shinot Yamin Elyon Eskor Maleya Ki Eskira Mikedem Pilecha Vahagiti Bekopa Alecha וואלי לנג'ה עציחה, אלוהים דרקודש דרכך, מי אל גדול כלא רואים, אתה האל הסבל, עודתה בעמים וזכה. גאות בזרועה מלך, בני יעקב ויוסף סלה, רוח המים, אלוהים רוח המים, יחילו אף ירגזו, בחורבות זורמו מים. אבות כל נתנו שם חכים, אף עשת שכה, התעלקו כל רעבך, וגלגל היו ברקים, תבל רצה ותירש הארץ, בים דרכך, ושבילך במים רבים, בעקבותיך לא נודעו, תנחית כתון עמך, ביד משה ויחרון. The end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting your phones again, we will have a Zohar class, Motzei Shabbat, at the 7 o'clock Pacific time. We will be in the Parsha of Mishpatim. Sunday, we will begin the preparation for Purim and for the Pesach. And that begins the concept of the shekel donation, the half shekel donation. It's called Shabbat Shekalim. And we will be learning about that. Ms. Fatine, meeting that will be a week from Saturday. Are there any questions? I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom, a beautiful Sabbath of Yitro. Resonate with the gift of the Torah. Esther D. Brooks. And always remember those 10, Esther D. Brooks, those 10 verses or 10 sentences are really the 613 mitzvot. Because all of the mitzvot fall under those 10 categories of the Esther D. Brooks. Shabbat Shalom. Shalom Gadol.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
Shabbat.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you all.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.